This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Before we left Rodgers and the Jets, we got to talk about him throwing Mike Williams under the bus for a pass that was a duck in the first place.
Well, we did it again this morning, too.
Bro,
he did it again? Yeah, Pat McAfee's like, yeah, well, we got to hold everyone accountable to the same standard, this, and that.
How about your sorry ass?
That ball looked like he threw it with threw a Nerf ball. It was just floating in the air like this.
Looked like Tim Tebow threw that.
Yeah, and poor Mike Adams almost concussed himself trying to come back and get the damn ball that was 5 yards short. And he comes out, oh, got to run the wrong route. You supposed to slip out. Shut the hell up. It was a duck.
Did you see my boy Trey Wingo?
No.
Through the first six games with Zach Wilson under center, the Jets scored 113 points. The six games this season with Aaron Rodgers under center, the Jets have scored 113 points.
Tragic. Yeah, he a clown for that, though. I mean, he a clown for a lot of things, but he a clown for that one.
You don't throw your guys under the bus too. If you want to hold them to the same accountable, like, do that in a locker room or whatever. You don't do that on a national show or whatever. Multiple times, too.
Especially when we all saw the duck that you threw. You didn't throw a dime and he ran the wrong route. This thing was floating in the air like a punt. And like I said, the man concussed himself trying to get back to the damn ball that you threw that was 5 to 7 yards underthrown, and then you're going to get mad at him. Stop it. Look at him. Look, the guy loaded up like he was about to, I'm about to heave this down on a rope. And this thing ended up being a punt.
Through the look at on the all 22. Look at where Mike Williams is. This dude just chucks the ball off into the air.
Look, so Mike Williams gets. I bet you he gets to the 20 and has to come back to the 25 to catch the ball.
So, like, can you see the cursor on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So it is. So Rodgers' thing is Mike Williams is supposed to run this way, like he's supposed to run out to the sideline.
I guess.
Is that what the red line is?
I guess so.
So let me. I just want to.
It can't be that because he threw it down.
Yeah, he's probably something like up the seam or something like that. But
okay, let's work with this again. Up the seam. Is that a defender right there?
That's a defender.
Okay, so the way Aaron Rodgers is telling this story is the route that Mike Williams was supposed to run was to come back to this defender right here. Let's watch the rest of the video here as Aaron Rodgers. By the way, ball's already in the air for your boy. And okay.
The duck, like, where is he?
Mike Williams is on the ground now.
Yeah, trying to come back to that sorry ass pass. Like, what kind of pass was that?
This dude is absurd.
How can you make that pass and be like, yeah, he ran the wrong route? Like, what is the right route in that situation? What is the correct route that's going to make that pass complete? Come on,
okay.
Man.
Now I recognize we're looking at the all 22, so I could be seeing this wrong. He said he was trying to no-look him. So he's looking off here. I don't know who that is down at the bottom
Bobby
of the screen.
Garrett Wilson.
And that makes sense, right? There's Aaron Rodgers. Where's Aaron Rodgers looking? Right now, it appears he's looking at Mike Williams. I could be wrong, but look. It looks like he's looking at Garrett Wilson. Now it looks like he's looking at Mike Williams. Let's watch this no-look pass from Aaron Rodgers. Mike. And Mike.
Bro, at the time, he's not even open at that point.
This dude.
If anything, Aaron Rodgers saw him late.
He is the worst human being. This dude, well, he's not the worst. He's up there. He's number two. And we'll get to the worst human being in a minute.
And once again, you threw a duck. There was nothing there that was going to make that complete with the way that you threw it. Poor Mike Williams, like I said, damn near broke his back trying to come back and adjust to that sorry-ass throw.
At least Mike Williams is on the trading block now.
Poor guy.
Good for Mike. Get him out of there.
That's crazy that he said that about Mike Williams on that throw.
Is that a post-game and then on Pat McAfee?
We just saw the all 22. I don't know what throw makes that a completed pass. I don't get it, man. He tried. Like, that's the whole thing. He tried. He's like, yo, I'm about to put everything into this one. Oh, look at this dime. And it was just the damn punt. The damn thing had hang time. That, like, what they used to do on Fox, 4.7 seconds of hang time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that pass had. Just washed. Looked like Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico can at least throw a football over the mountains.
That's something only me and you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know the reference. I know the reference. I just saw the stupid-ass movie one time.
Hey, don't do that to Napoleon Dynamite.
It's not good.
Hey.
No matter how many times you two do this.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah, it's not good. It's funny.
It's not even remotely funny. The only thing that's funny about it is when people like you and the rest of the chatty house, when you guys start acting out the movie, then it's funny. But that 90 minutes of my life, I've lost forever.
Yes.
Tina, eat the food, Tina. Tina, eat the food.
Yes.
Okay, dude.
What about when he slaps him?
I give you my word, I will never watch that movie a second time. Ever. Absolutely
oh,
never.
Man, that's a good one, man.
The Jets traded for Davante Adams today. To me, that has absolutely no significance on the New York Jets, the Las Vegas Raiders, or anyone else in the NFL. But Hassan Reddick has been granted permission to seek a trade.
Mm.
And if Drew Rosenhaus can pull this off, that will have an effect on other teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Whoever acquires Hassan Reddick will be in a great position this year. And in my opinion, the Jets being able to trade Hassan Reddick could put them in a good position in the future. Mm. That right there is the trade the Jets can make that will impact the rest of the league. The one they did today makes one guy and one guy only. I'm sorry, it makes two guys happy. It makes Mike Greenberg happy, and it makes their stupid-ass quarterback under center happy. That's about it. And I guess Devontae is happy. Good for them. But trading Hassan Reddick could have a serious impact on the NFL. We just saw what the Detroit Lions went through this past weekend. They have an immediate need for that. Of course, Hassan Reddick is looking for a deal. Maybe Detroit doesn't really work long-term there, but maybe there's just the desire to get away from New York at this point. Who really knows? But there are virtually every team in the NFL could benefit from adding Hassan Reddick to their squad.
Yeah, I look at that situation, and you know where my first thought was. Like, yo, Niners, you know, been there. Now, here's the situation. He's definitely looking for a contract with whoever he signs with. But I would talk, and I'd say, man, you can reset your market if you come to San Francisco, playing some playoff games, be a disruptive force, and then go out as a free agent. Hell, I don't know what the 49ers situation is looking like, but you got Hargrave, maybe you let him go. Maybe it'll happen there. But even if it doesn't, you can get that money, that type of contract, because it feels like, I could be wrong, but it feels like wherever he goes right now in a trade, I don't know if they'd give him a contract. You think they would?
What like about the Commanders?
They would need somebody like that. They would need somebody like that.
They got a rookie quarterback. I'm going to check their cap situation. I think that's a team that might be able to pay him.
So your question was a team in general.
Yeah, just in general. Like, would they sign him to the contract he's looking
like now?
For? Yeah.
I think so. He's one of those positions. Like if you're a... I want to say Cleveland, but that doesn't make it. If you're a bad football team, Like, doing this move right now doesn't, like, change your fortunes. Mm. But if you're a team, and I'm trying to think of one, like, on the cusp, like, a team that's kind of like, they've got some good things. Like, maybe they can go from good to elite. Jesse brought up Washington. Washington probably works perfectly. Mm. If I'm Washington, yeah, I'd absolutely pay him. I think virtually any team in the league would.
The Lions have cap space as well.
Except that one. Because what do you do with him after that? Do you run them side by side? Like once you get through this year, once you get past through what's happened to Aiden Hutchinson and he returns, what do you do?
Maybe you pay, because Aiden's on a rookie deal, so maybe you pay Hassan for two more years or whatever. And then
but
by
Aiden
the time,
gotta be in year three.
I think he's extension three. Eligible.
Yeah,
probably.
He's,
after next season.
Yeah, this might be year three. Okay. So you have two more years.
He's got big money
season.
Coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Niners got cap space too, though.
They do, but I don't know if they'd have. So they could do it right now and it'd be all good to go. But I don't, you know, you always get the Brock thing.
Like, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know.
I don't think the Niners do that, though.
What about Tampa Bay?
I mean, he makes sense, like, on all these teams.
That's what I mean.
It's about, is he still looking for the contract?
He has to be.
I'm trying to think of the last time something like that happened and a contract was signed in season like that. And I don't feel like that typically happens. That's the question that I'm at. So
Trent
was at the beginning of season.
Was it?
He was draft day.
If you're Hassan Reddick and you're already not playing for the Jets right now because you don't have a deal, you're not going to a team that's not giving you a deal, right? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Probably, yeah. Like, it would, and that's the other
part. That defeats the whole purpose.
That's the whole holdout with the Jets is not having his contract.
What's the deal with he's got to start playing to accrue the time?
It used to be week 8. I don't know if it's week 9 now. Hmm.
That's still, 2 weeks away?
More or less. We just finished week six yesterday.
Yeah, so how does that play?
He needs to play at least 6 games.
He needs
to,
oh,
okay,
he's
so you got a
time.
Couple more weeks.
Yeah, he's got plenty of time. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, the only reason what you guys are saying makes perfect sense.
Oh, Allison mentions Chicago. It'd be a good one.
It would.
Again, he fits. As a football player, virtually everywhere.
Right.
Who does he make the most sense for?
Right.
Is what?
Everything that you guys are saying makes sense to me. I'm just trying to think, and maybe this is a complete unique situation, but I can't remember people getting traded and then signing the big contract. Did what's his name? Chicago Sweat. He got traded. And I think he signed a few weeks after the same season, right? Isn't he one of them?
I'd have to look it up, look back. But I think it's because we don't see trades like this mid-season usually, though. Like, when we see these trades, it's all off-season. So it's like, yeah, like, Dolphins with Tyreek, they had a deal ready for him and all that when they traded for him. But I think right. It's just because we don't see it, like, during the regular season as much.
And that's my only thought is, like,
yeah.
And because of that, would he be willing to be traded somewhere where he might not get the contract right away?
Montez signed 4 days later.
4 days, though. Okay.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay.
Yeah, I think wherever Hassan goes, he's going to get a deal. I don't think he's playing anywhere where it's just a rental and he's going to get his deal in the offseason.
So clearly Montez was traded with the understanding of a deal,
mm-hmm.
right? You're not in the bit, like here's the the concept of a deal, if you will, the framework. Here's what we're looking at. We've got to, you know, iron this out a little bit, cross some T's, dot some I's, but this is the framework of what we're looking at. Are you good with it? Mm-hmm. Yes. Trade executed. Let's get the rest of this done. 4 days later, he has the extension. I think that might be a little, I don't think these types of trades are super common. I think this scenario might be a little bit more common than you're giving it credit for. But I have absolutely nothing to back that up on other than I feel like it's happened before. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk NFL. Obviously, stories developing all throughout the day. Plus, the Kings play basketball tonight, and hopefully they look a lot better than the last time we saw them. That's all ahead here. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino, one Sacramento sports leader, ESPN 1320. Kenny Caraway, the worst storyteller in history.
Bro just waits to like bro, the buzzer every time.
A 5 minute commercial break and was yeah. like, hey, did you see? And he gets into this story where it's like, oh, we're back.
Well, but look,
don't even know what happened to Adam Silver over the weekend.
So on the broadcast of the in Basketball Hall of Fame, they were broadcasting and they go and they say on the little headline thing, Adam Silver, NBA commissioner. And then on the screen, Vlade Divac is there, and Vlade's just sitting there, and he's whatever. And I'm like, how they messed that up? Like, what's going on? Like, and Vlade's just kind of looking around or whatever. And then I don't know what happened, if they have cameras in the place or not, but Vlade goes, oh. And then he moves, and Adam Silver is behind him.
Oh, that's funny.
They're like, oh, there's Adam Silver. But Vlade's just kind of sitting there, and I'm like, what kind of mix-up was that, saying that's Adam Silver? And Vlade, oh, and he moves to the side, and Adam's like, hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, that's tremendous. I want to see that. That sounds very funny.
But, yeah, all the Hall of Famers were there, as they typically are. Vince Carter went into that was the biggest.
Was he the closer?
I don't know.
Okay.
They end up changing the channel, so I don't know.
Maybe make a bigger deal out of the Hall of Fame, too, if you're – whoever runs
that,
this.
Yeah, and that was a tough weekend to have it. I know they try to probably do it like closer to the beginning of basketball season or before basketball season, but man, that's a tough weekend to have that one, because it absolutely got lost in the shuffle on Saturday. I just happened to be, like I said, at a birthday dinner. Shout out to Station 16. That's some good. I had the Black Salmon there. That was some good stuff. Shout out to Station 16. And they had it all. They had all the TVs on. It was on there. And I was like, oh, man, the Hall of Fame happened.
I saw Vince Carter gave some love to the Kings, too, in his speech.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't he say something about De'Aaron Fox or something like that?
De'Aaron, a few guys, I think.
Yeah.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
His little back and forth with Tracy McGrady was pretty funny. I saw a lot of that stuff, too. We talked about being a football player, and Tracy started laughing at him. That was good stuff. Good stuff here. Kings play tonight. Hopefully a better version. I have to play the Jerry Jones audio for you, by the way. Like, just absolutely cannot forget to play that. We'll play it before Trista joins us. TK going to be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Jason Jones, final hour of the show. We'll have that Jerry Jones audio for you coming up at the top of... we'll have
right
it
there waiting for us, right there. If you want to hear the audio.
Yeah, this one isn't funny, though. Yesterday's was funny. You think I'm an idiot? Do you? That was funny.
This one getting run all over.
He was just being a little bitch today. And
all over the place.
I haven't watched 2 seconds of First Take or Sports Center. We have NFL Live on in front of us with the sound down. I don't know what they're saying. If there's a single media personality in the game that doesn't have an issue with what Jerry Jones did today, then they need to take a hard look at themselves in the mirror, because this is foul. And you'll hear this hour before Trista joins us what that was. But the Kings take the floor tonight against the Utah Jazz. Obviously, we're all hoping for a better version of the Sacramento Kings. I know no one's really sweating whether this team wins or loses. For some context, headed into tonight's game, the Nuggets, the Mavericks, the Magic, and the Cavs. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 4 playoff teams, no? or at least pretty damn close to it.
Yeah.
They're all 0-3. Again, that's the Nuggets. It's the Mavericks. It's the Magic and the Cavs. Those they're all 0-3. So what that means for them, who knows? Probably nothing. What's it mean for Sacramento? Who knows? Probably nothing. Doesn't mean we wouldn't like to see them play a little bit better.
That's what it is.
And I don't know if anybody has gotten word to Mike that Kevin Herter's okay and can play now, but I hope someone has.
I feel like the reactions to the Kings' preseason performance has been a little extreme both ways, I think. Because it's like, if, say, they were guarding the three-point line better, are we going to leave the preseason, oh, yeah, like they figured it out. Like, oh, yeah, they're like, no, like you're not, there's no takeaway there.
No, but you could feel encouraged. I think that's all you're looking for. I mean, I don't know what fans are looking for during preseason, but it could be just as simple as signs.
Yeah, because like
just looking for signs.
Yeah, I get it. Like the way I see it, like preseason game number two never meant anything 3 weeks into the regular season. Like if they figured anything out, we'll see it in the regular season. We won't see it here, I don't think.
And it's the conundrum of watching preseason basketball, trying to evaluate preseason basketball. There's things that get you hyped up. There's things that concern you. And, you know, a lot of the times, neither one of them, you know, seem to rear their ugly head or happy head into the regular season. You got to deal with, like, veterans and, you know, how they approach the preseason. And if somebody looks lethargic, they could just be vets that are like, man, I'm trying to get this over with, trying to stay healthy through this whole process and not really, I don't want to say taking it seriously, but they know how to pace themselves a little bit. So the Kings actually kind of have a veteran team out there.
Sure.
So, you know, maybe they're, you know, this is De'Aaron Fox's eighth preseason. You know, De'Aaron doesn't do anything just to do it. Like, he ain't like, I'm going to go out there and play hard just to show everybody that we're playing. Like, no. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron is one of the guys where I think he'll do his work. He'll handle business. But he's also got, like, it's the preseason. Like, not going crazy.
That's essentially what Malik was saying.
Yeah. And I go back and forth because I understand that. And I'm also not in their situation as NBA veterans. So the way I look at it or maybe approach it may not be the same because I don't have the same understanding of going through it. But yeah, I don't know. Like I would want to play a lot better tonight based off of how we played on Sunday, and not saying they don't want to, but maybe they're not as pressed because it is just another preseason game.
In the chat, Shadows After Party, check them out tomorrow. Man in the chat, it's not the end of the world, but it's definitely not oh well either. Like, what is it then? Like, what are we taking away from it then? Like, if it's not just oh well, what are we taking away from it then?
We also can't say it's not oh well because we don't know.
Like,
it could just
one thing
be,
we
oh,
do
well.
Know is it's not the end of the world.
Yeah,
we know that for sure.
Yeah.
Oh well, that won't be determined until these games that count towards your record in making the playoffs start to accumulate.
Mm-hmm.
Malik alluded to them, not even alluded. He talked about being tired. You know, Malik will call out Mike pretty quickly for the practice schedule. He said that we've practiced 8 times in 10 days. Mm-hmm. We got to the game and we were just a little lethargic. Like, we were tired. He stopped short of saying we were just trying to get through it. Mm-hmm. But when you listen to him, they were just trying to get through it. Mm-hmm. That's not what fans want to hear. Understandable, because we don't get to see them in practice. Mm-hmm. We don't get to see how hard they may go up and down in 5-on-5 or how hard they might be running these drills, these sets, running against each other. We don't know any of that. Mm-hmm. All we have is what we see on that Kings.com Live, which just worked to perfection. God knows nothing went wrong with that.
You know, Uncle V, that's my boy. But that's the one thing where we don't see eye to eye. Uncle V, if you don't pay, I know James Hamden broke it down plenty of time. If you don't pay the $40,000 or whatever it is to get these games on NBC California, what are we doing?
Or update your bandwidth power or whatever. Like, there was no reason for that
game.
Oh,
my gosh. I went with it again tonight.
I went to, wait, for real?
They're done on TV. Next two games on Kings.com.
So here's a pro tip. I don't know if it works for tonight, but it worked on Sunday. I don't know if that's a home game versus an away game. Go to the NBC Sports California website instead. It worked. It took. I missed the first goddamn 9 points of the game, but once I got to NBC Sports California's website, it worked perfectly. So kings.com/live might not be the best look.
That even sounds trash.
Come on, Kings. We got to be better than that.
Everybody else be on TV. Just come on, man. I'll pitch in, man. I'll pitch $20. $20 so we can watch the game. Do a pay-per-view.
Premium live event. Kings versus the Jazz.
Just get rid of this whole little system, man. Come on, man.
Awful. Yeah. Absolutely awful. I don't even remember where I was going with that. I can't believe it took us a whole day to sound off on that stupid-ass broadcast.
I was so frustrated.
Everybody was frustrated.
Oh, man.
Because I thought it was my internet. I check Twitter, and first person I see, of course, is Jill. Well, it's like, well, it's not my internet. Jill's about to throw her phone against the wall trying to get this to work.
And if Jill ain't got it, you know it's an issue. You know it's an issue. And then I just hate the fact that I can't go back and, well, if you got some of the systems, you can, but I can't go back and watch it.
Yeah.
You know, it's there. It was there and it's gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, man. Come on, guys.
It's absurd. Or you can wait 3 days and watch it on League Pass, which is League Pass's finest accomplishment. Is, yes, why would you want to watch the game later on? You could watch it in 3 days after they've already played two more times.
I want to ask Adam Silver about that.
Brilliant. Well, you know what I think it is? Well, it's dumb, though, because sports has always been considered DVR-proof. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to watch something you don't want to watch something in 2 days everyone was talking about the day before, mm-hmm. or 2 days before. And they have, with ratings, as stupid as the rating system is, they have plus threes and plus sevens. So the rating for a game can go up over the course of the next 3 days from people who watch it on DVR. Mm. The rating for a game can go up the rating for anything can go up 7 days. After watch it, once you're past 7 days, it doesn't count. Mm. Sports has always been that doesn't matter.
Right.
The reason sports advertising costs so much is because it's always been dubbed DVR proof. Mm-hmm. League Pass is like, we don't care.
They don't.
You can't watch it for 3 days.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
While your team is playing their next game, you can watch the last one.
It would be crazy to say 24 hours, but even that would be like, all right, 24 hours. 3 days?
3 days.
That's awful.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I don't know. I don't know what makes everybody feel better. I don't know if it's just simply playing good. I don't know if it's winning. I don't know if it's hitting threes. I don't know if it's Utah shooting 25% from behind the arc or 30% from behind the arc. Like, I'm not sure. Because in the end, that result has as little impact as the result on Sunday does, mm-hmm. for what we see next, a week from Thursday. Mm-hmm. And if Malik is telling us we're holding stuff back, can't show everything, if Malik is telling us that they're tired, hey, then I'm going to believe Malik Monk.
Was Saturday, last Sunday they had a day off, and then they play games, practice the whole time, and they were off on Saturday, correct?
There's been 2 days off in the last 10 days. One of them was over the weekend. I know that for sure. I don't know if it was this past weekend. I think that it was.
Yeah, I think it was, too, because they were off on that Sunday. Because I remember everybody went to the Saturday practice and got all that footage, Keegan shooting the three.
So that Sunday and last Saturday.
Yeah.
Those appear to have been, like Saturday a couple of days ago, yeah. Those appear to have been the 2 days off.
And I bring that up because, you know, they played like it and it looked like they were a little sluggish after not practicing, after a day off. Not saying they should have practiced or something like that, but he looked kind of out of rhythm, kind of sluggish. They need to get over this. This should not be an issue or whatever the case. It hear me when I say it, it should not be an issue. And I don't think it will be moving forward, even though it seemed like it was an issue last year. But these day game starts for them, they seem off kilter, like off their routine. We talk all the time about athletes and especially basketball players being in a routine of the night, essentially. And when things get moved up, essentially 4 hours, for the Kings, at least it seems to have thrown them off. They can't handle that, which is going to be a problem, because what are you going to do when you play
3 o'clock basketball?
What are you going to do when you start playing on ABC? What are you going to do when you start playing on ABC at noon or whatever?
And we both know that's never happening.
Unless they play the Warriors, I guess, or the Lakers. But, yeah, they just seemed off. The combination of not playing the day before and then playing the 3 o'clock game. And a lot of people look at it like 3 o'clock is the only thing. It's a little bit more goes into that. If you're used to waking up at 10, getting to the arena at 4, doing all this other stuff for a 7 o'clock game, and then when you play at 3, now you got to wake up at 7, get to the arena at 11, tip off at 3, it could throw some people's stuff out of whack.
Sure.
It didn't bother the Trailblazers on Sunday, so they didn't have the same issue. But, yeah, I think the combination maybe of not playing the day before and starting a little – had them a little lethargic. And that can't happen. Let's be perfectly clear. That can't happen.
Man, I don't know. It just feels like a lot of excuses for playing bad basketball.
And that's what it came down to. You played bad. You didn't execute. You didn't play with a certain level of effort.
You know, I can see the message that you just started.
Well, I didn't
want to
bring
right?
it up like, now. I was going to bring it up
in
the break.
You're preparing to – you just want me to sit here as you prepare to diss me during the commercial break.
I didn't see it. This is a confirmation
right
to
here.
The things that I say.
You know
or
what?
To say now, Ben. Zabo's right.
Zabo's right. I'm just going to go work for the pop station like you prognosticated years ago.
Ben in the chat said, because we were talking about how rich – D'Lo is, how it's difficult to see him when these outings, and Ben co-signs. He says D'Lo was in a blocked off area, concerts in the park. I can vouch for that. Kenny was out with the people. This really happened.
Now let's frame this a different way for Ben, who's 2 hours behind.
He is. That's the other aspect.
And everybody else. It's just funny. Kenny stars this tweet as if I can't see it, this message, as if I can't see the fact he's just preparing to diss me on the next commercial break. Let's look at this from a different perspective. Kenny's out with the people, and he's mingling and having shaking hands and taking pictures. D'Lo is standing by the stage. That way, when D'Lo and Casey are needed, I throw up the bat signal and we go to work.
Well, I turn my alarm.
Or when someone says, hey, can you guys do this, this, and this? I'm easily accessible and that message is relayed.
Well, there's also the security that doesn't allow people to get to you as well. Don't leave that part out.
You want to take that message off the screen so we can go back to work?
don't leave out the part that there's armed guards all around D'Lo, making sure nobody
in the trenches getting the work done. Thank you, Donovan. At least somebody appreciates what I do.
He works. I'm just saying, people can't get to him.
No, KC comes in shaking hands with everybody. Got 20-minute handshakes with everybody. D'Lo walks in, pulled into a meeting. Got to go talk about this. Got to go iron this broadcast out. Got to go bum rush this event that we're not even invited to, but you guys are going. Got to work all that out.
I don't have nobody to do handshakes with no more, man. All my handshake people gone, man. Maybe that's the kiss of death.
Boy, well,
don't get
hey, if you got a if you got a personalized handshake with KC, you cooked. Keep it
vote of confidence.
Just give him a hearty handshake and keep it moving.
It's the dreaded vote of confidence. But
man,
now back to the Kings. I do agree. Excuses and you know, reasons.
Maybe that's harsh.
Or
like
reasons.
It
could be reasons. Like people always excuses or. So when this happens often in all walks of life, when they say, why did you do this? Or why did this happen? And you say, well, this is why it happened. Don't give me no excuses. No, I'm telling you.
Don't ask me why it happened if you don't want to know.
I'm telling you why it happened. It's not an excuse. I'm telling you why it happened. Malik, all these other guys, we just weren't focused. Like, we were lethargic.
Malik was, like, retired.
Yeah, we're tired. Don't give me that excuse. No, I'm telling you why it happened. That could just be what happened.
We should just play what Malik said, because I did listen to it. He didn't cuss.
Oh, well. I'm glad we read that
to,
one
not
first.
Not to kill the bit.
Well, it's not. It's also not his game. It's the De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Here's a little from our guy Malik Monk, courtesy, of course, of Sean Cunningham and Fox 40 yesterday.
What was just your impressions of kind of last night and how it went for you all and how it felt the next day?
Like preseason. I think Mike wanted us to play a little harder than we are. But I mean, we got to meet in the middle. I feel like, but I think the guys are tired.
That's a window into this whole thing. Mm. Mike wants us to play harder, but we got to meet in the middle a little bit. Mm. Meaning you're busting our ass during practice.
Right.
This isn't a regular season game. We can't get up. If we're getting up and down with each other during the week, man, don't ask us to do it again during the Blazers or against the Blazers.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
I hear you, though. That's a good observation, in my opinion.
In the show last night, we didn't have any legs, so we'll figure it out. We've been doing this for a while, so I think we'll be all right.
What do you attribute some of that fatigue to, especially considering the day off right before?
10 practices in 8 days.
Mm.
That's it. Yeah.
Testament to you guys obviously working hard.
Going hard, yeah, just going hard. It's still preseason, too. We just got to take the positives. Look at the negatives and learn from the negatives, like we did today in film. Mike going to show us all the negatives just so we can be on top of it every chance he get, just so we can be on our P's and Q's. So, yeah, he do a great job at that. But, yeah, we was just tired.
When you miss a day, do you miss a lot?
Conditioning-wise, yes. But everything else, 8 years in, so I know what to expect.
You said the positives. Can you share? Are you able to share some of the positives that Mike showed you guys or that you took out of last night's game?
Oh, yeah. All the open shots we had. We did great things on offense. We were just missing them. We had a lot of open shots, a lot of great looks from a lot of guys that make the shots. That was one. Some of our defensive rotations were great, too. But like I said, most of them we were just late because we were just sluggish.
I believe in 2 out of the 3 preseason games so far, I think you guys had 27 threes as a team, which is on the lower side compared
super
to last
low,
year.
Super low.
Is that nothing to be concerned about, right? Is that just the looks that you're getting or trying to get more inside? Or what do you attribute that to?
Preseason. Can't show everything.
And I'll leave that right there. That's Malik Monk. That's yesterday after practice. Of course, they play in Utah today. I took that last line as we're not running plays. Mm. That's part of the reason you're not seeing us get those looks. Mm-hmm. Like we heard it was a big focus, I think, in the first Warriors game, game, talking about read and react. I don't think there was a big difference between the first Warriors game and the second Warriors game. I don't know what the talking point was going into the one against Portland, but it didn't really matter because that game seemed to disintegrate so quickly. I don't think people cared if they were running an offense or not. They just wanted them to score.
Mm-hmm.
I took that line from Malik to mean, we're not showing you how we shot 27. That's definitely low. We're averaging 27, whatever the thing was. Yeah, that's super low, but that's because we're not running plays to get me looks, Keegan looks, De'Aaron looks, DeMar, whoever. We're not running plays for that.
Yeah. And when you talk about the 10 practices in 8 days, in the middle of the season, when maybe they've, built up their conditioning and their legs and all this other stuff. Maybe that, I don't think that would happen anyway in the middle of the season, but maybe all that isn't as much of an issue. When they're starting to gear up and they're not at peak performance yet, yeah, that's where fatigue comes in. That's where, mentally you could be fatigued where like, man, we're just kind of tired. And you see what you're trying to do. You see what you want to do out there, but there's just a disconnection between your body and your mind and your will in that situation. And you have nights like that. You have nights where you're just a step slow, where you see it, but you can't get out there quick enough. And those things happen from time to time. So I don't know if Yeah, I take it for what he's saying. You know what I mean? Malik is a pretty straight shooter, too.
Yep.
Like, he'll tell you, like, yo, this is the issue. He doesn't seem concerned about it. He doesn't seem worried about it. It was one of them days. We bounce back. We'll be ready to go. So I ain't going to be worried about it.
Trista Crick at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Obviously, a lot more Kings ahead as well, including ESPN releasing their top 100 players this week. They dropped 100 to 51 today, a couple of Sacramento Kings on that list. Plus, Trista Crick at the top of the hour, I want you to hear what Jerry Jones said this morning during his weekly radio hit. That's next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Trista Crick joining us here at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Lots to talk with her about in the association. Trista Tuesdays jumping off. But first,
seems like my
boy. Your boy.
That ain't my boy. That boy, ain't my boy at all.
Your boy Jerry did his weekly radio hit. The Fan in Dallas. Well, here it is.
Seems like my
point? Listen, let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
okay. Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
What?
Now, listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners, and I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday. Now, I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone. I'm talking to you, the fans that are listening this morning. And we can spend a lot of time going over zigging and zagging. One of the stupidest things I've ever done that anybody has ever analyzed is by the Cowboys. It was an idiot that did that. So idiot things can turn into good decisions. Okay? Smart things can turn into bad decisions. The facts are that when you make one, you don't really know whether it's going to be good or not at the time. So let's just go ahead. I'm trying to answer your questions, man. You want some conversation this morning? You're getting it.
Jerry Jones here.
Get this senile old bag of dust out of here. That is ridiculous. Mm. That behavior is ridiculous. Those three guys hosting that show having to endure that is ridiculous. The threat of taking someone's job because you don't like their line of questioning is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear. I don't know how those brothers in Dallas deal with their job, but I've said on many occasions, what we do is weird. We're talking about what De'Aaron Fox can and can't do on a basketball floor. I can't do any of it. None of it. I recognize that we're often the voice of fans. Fans want to know why you got your ass kicked by the Detroit Lions at home the other day. Fans want to know why your team can't win a football game inside that building anymore. Those are all fair questions. The fact that your football team appears to be a fraction of as talented as they were in the past. Those are all fair questions.
We don't need to go over you drafting DeMarcus Ware today. We don't need to go over the success of Tony Romo or Emmitt Smith or Troy Aikman or run down the list of Hall of Famers that you've had as a Dallas Cowboy owner. That's all been, you're a Hall of Famer, sir. Your accomplishments have been acknowledged. Your team right now sucks. Now, part of your issue is you've been gassed up by people on ESPN because your team is super popular. They're super polarizing. They either are hated or loved. There's no in-between with the Dallas Cowboys, so they get 25 straight minutes of coverage the day the defensive player of the year goes down in the same game to talk about how crappy you are. So when you go on in your local market and the radio show host asks you, hey, why is your team so bad? They deserve an answer. They don't deserve to have their jobs threatened, and it very much is their job. Mm-hmm. When you sit behind this microphone on this radio station, Kings fans are tuning in to hear why their team lost by 30 in a preseason game. They're tuning in to hear why Malik Monk isn't panicked about it. They're tuning in to hear the why. Mm-hmm. You're the owner of the goddamn team. Give them the why. But this is the second time in as many days you've popped off at reporters because now Jerry realizes for the first time his team does stink. He realizes those days of Quincy Carter and those subpar at best teams that he had before Bill Parcells got there, he's realized those are back. He realizes he has an open coaching job coming up this offseason that people aren't going to want. Mm. He understands he's going to have to give away a whole lot of control to get a coach that he wants. I'm not talking about Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's not taking that job. But your dream scenario? Oh, your dream scenario could happen. Mm. You can see prime there. I don't know that his quarterback will be there, but you can see prime there. Mm. Oh, he realizes, I think, for the very, very first time, he has major, major issues ahead for his franchise. But he wants you to focus on the fact that he's rich. He wants you to focus on the fact that the Cowboys have become a multi-billion dollar company after purchasing it for a couple of million. He wants you to tell him how great he is despite the fact his team is terrible. The team that he not only is the owner of, but is the general manager of. The 49ers suck. John Lynch has to face the heat. The Sacramento Kings suck. Monty McNair has to face the heat. That's what general managers do. Does Vivek? Sure, but he's more in the background. Does Jed York? Sure, but he's more in the background. Jerry Jones' ass is front and center every single week. And this is what happens when things don't go your way, and he's acting like a goddamn child.
So there's a couple things here. First and foremost, him threatening those guys' jobs, completely out of line. Completely out of line, and that can't happen. It shouldn't happen. That's the biggest issue I have with Jerry Jones in that situation. Like you don't do that. That reeks of entitlement, and just, you know, not wanting to have real conversations. I was disgusted by
entitlement
that.
Is the perfect word.
I was disgusted by
Let's bring TK into this because I think she'll enjoy this. Go ahead. Yes. Keep going. Trista Crick with us.
TK, what's going on with your girl? The other thing that I say is Jerry has to be able to just, you got to take that. You got to wear that. Your team gets beat up the way they did. They continue to fail. You've got to wear that. You want to be front and center. You have to wear that. You got to take the questions. You've got to answer them a certain way. Here's the third thing that might be a little controversial. I know we joke all the time about defending somebody. I'm not defending Jerry Jones. I'm not trying to. But I am aware of, like, what do we want as fans? What do we want as people in the media? Do we want people to give real answers, or do we want the carbon copy stuff? Because you asked Jerry Jones what happened on Saturday or on Sunday and why they lost. The answer is because that team sucks. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott sucks. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy sucks. Mm-hmm. My defense is garbage. Can he say that on that interview? Can he say those things on that interview?
No.
So what do you want to do? So in that situation, I want him not to disrespect the host. I want him not to challenge their jobs, and I want him to give the diplomatic answer. But that's not real. That's not even the real answer.
Well, but the problem is, TK, and I want you to weigh in on this. There's several problems with that. You don't have to say they suck. You can say we're not good enough.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.